Heavenly Father, Lord God, we come before you this morning, Lord God. Humble, Lord God. We want to read the scripture, Lord God, but we want to be like the Bereans, Lord God, with a ready mind, Lord God. A ready mind, Lord God, willing to receive what you have to say, Lord God. Any one of us, Lord God, could be up here preaching the word, Lord God, but ultimately, Lord God, you're the giver of all truth, Lord God. So there's nothing that we can speak, Lord God, that did not originate from you, Lord God. So we stand here, Lord God, ready to receive and hear, Lord God, expecting that, Lord God, you are going to speak, Lord God, and fill our souls, Lord God, with good words, Lord God, that, Lord God, can, Lord God, go beyond these walls, go beyond today, and echo off into our future, Lord God. And we just trust and believe, Lord God, that, Lord God, you're going to meet us at this hour, Lord God, and you're going to soothe every hurt, every pain, Lord God. Each one of us came from different directions this morning, Lord God, different homes, different situations, different weeks, Lord God. We go through so many different stresses and strains and aches and pains, Lord God. But only you know the intimacies of our hearts, Lord God. How that our situations are affecting each one of us individually, Lord God. A lot of us put on fronts. We put on faces, Lord God. We like to think we're all this or all that, Lord God. But Lord God, you see us cry at night. Lord God, you see us, Lord God, when we don't know and our foreheads are crinkled, Lord God. We don't quite know the answer to the question. We don't know how we're going to get through our situations, Lord God. But you know. So, Lord God, we are expecting, Lord God, that today, that all those needs, Lord God, can be ministered to, Lord God, both great and small, both big and little, Lord God. Lord God, the God I serve, I understand, Lord God, there's nothing too small for you to address. And there's nothing too big for you said your arm is not too short that you cannot save and look down and get into our situation. So we just thank you, praise you, and honor you, Lord God. And I will say, like Maurice always says, Lord God, let me sit down, Lord God, even though I'm standing, so that you may stand up, Lord God, and that the word may be revealed to each and every listener, Lord God, in Jesus' name. I want to read, I like to just go through the scripture. If you want to take notes, you can try to catch up. I just like to keep things moving. So I do want you to be able to follow along if you can, but I just like to keep things moving sometimes. I'm going to try to keep it moving today, so I'm just going to just get into it. Acts chapter 17, verse 10. I'm just going to read. And the brethren immediately sent Paul and Silas by night unto Berea, who coming thither went into the synagogue, or today that would be the church of the Jews. These were, the Bereans, were more noble than they in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind, and searched the scriptures daily whether those things were so. Why am I reading that scripture? Because oftentimes we are being told to get into our corner, sit down, and shut up. Oftentimes we are being told, you don't know, I know, so listen to me. Oftentimes we are being told to get down up underneath me, because I'll show you the way, or I'll show you how it goes, or let me explain. No, but the Word of God says the Bereans were commended, and they were accounted more noble because they, after Paul, who's one of the greatest apostles to breathe, and Silas, his partner, got done preaching, these people didn't just say, this is Paul and Silas, so they could say anything, and I'm going to just take it. They went home, and they searched the scriptures daily to see whether those things are so, accounting that the scripture is greater than Paul and Silas themselves, which it is. So that's the thought as I continue with the things I'm going to be handing you today that I want to leave with you. That you are capable of understanding the scriptures. It's not a magic potion that lets you understand the scriptures. T.D. Jakes, Joyce Meyer, they all have to go home and they have to go ahead and get into the word. And if they don't, they're going to come out with some garbage on the pulpit. And they have to stay studied up. Everybody has that same ability. And I just, if you see me get edgy, it's because I hate the devil. And the devil is trying to disempower his people. Do you know that when Paul was just a member or just a peon, and Peter was the great power of God, Paul was the one coming to get Peter back in line.
It's many of us, we see the pastors not doing this right, or we see this one over here is not doing this right, and he's calling himself an authority, he's not looking this right. You might just be the one can get him right back online. And do you know what Peter did? Peter listened and heeded little old nobody sinning Paul that was getting Christians murdered. So that's the thought I want everybody just to hold on to, that you have the power to both receive and execute on the Word of God by yourself. You can read the Word for yourself and check up on anybody. And that's what I want to leave with you. Yes, we want to have respect. We want to, the Bible tells us to respect. But at the same time, you want to make sure that you understand and that what is being told to you is the truth. And the Word of God, I will submit to you, is not written in Chinese. That thing is in English, and you can understand it. If you speak the Word of the Lord and you pray, the Word of God can open the Scriptures to your mind and to your eyes and give you understanding. And then I also say, if you're having trouble with something, then you can go to anybody and ask them, what the heck does this Scripture mean? And I'm sure that you can find somebody can open up the words to your eyes. With that said, Revelation chapter 1, verse 1 through 3. Let's just read what God is saying. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave him to show unto his servants the things which must shortly come to pass. And he sent and signified it, signed it, stamped it, by his angel unto his servant John. I should say, because we're going to be reading a good portion of John. John is the apostle. Everybody said that all the apostles abandoned Jesus when he was in the Garden of Gethsemane. I submit to you that that's a lie. There was one apostle that stood by his side all the way to the foot of the cross, and that was the apostle John. Something special about him. And for some reason, people overlooked that, but that's fine. He followed Jesus all the way to the cross, and he's the writer of St. John, 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John, and the book of Revelation. And those are all powerful books of the Bible. And you cannot leave these books without being built up and strengthened. But anyway, so the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show him unto his servants the things which must shortly come to pass. He sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John. John, who bare record of the word of God and of the testimony of Jesus Christ and of all the things that he saw. So John is playing the newscaster. John is not asserting by any means that any of this is his own unction, interpretation, or idea or opinion. He's got the camera and he's recording. Verse 3 says, blessed is he that readeth and they that hear the words of this prophecy. Blessed is he that readeth and they that hear the words of this prophecy. I said on the radio this morning, what I hear by my ear when I watch TVN and when I watch different news shows and radio and over the past years, oh, the book of Revelation is too confusing. Don't bother with that. We don't know what it means. We don't know what it's like. Oh, get away from that book because you're going to get confused. Well, whoever said that, what I read here in verse 3 says, blessed is he that readeth. I don't know who's here following me, but that thing, my eyes is not working. It says, blessed is he that readeth. Do you want to be blessed? Read this book. There's not many books that say that. That say that right in the beginning. This thing is saying to you, blessed is he that readeth. And they that hear the words of this prophecy. And keep. It's possible to read and hear this prophecy, but not to keep it. Blessed is he that hears the words of this prophecy and keeps those things that are written therein. Why? Because the time is at hand. What does that mean? That means it's no more time to waste. It's now is the time. Now is the time to read the book of Revelation. Now it's no more time to waste. There's information in here that can help you to deal with 9/11, that can help you to deal with the little insignificant troubles that you face on a daily basis. This stuff is addressing what's going on now. And if he said he's coming quickly 2,000 years ago, what does that mean for us now? We are in the last and the evil days. Blessed. What does the word blessed mean? Blessed is he that readeth and they that hear the words of the prophecy and keep those things that are written therein, for the time is at hand. The thing I would say to you as you approach the book of Revelation is, and I was fortunate enough, by whatever means or by whatever technique or by the trend of the day, to just be filled when I was coming up with all kinds of preconceived notions about the Bible and all kinds of weird dogmas and beliefs and traditions. And as I took my own adventure into the Word of God, I found out that wasn't true, and that wasn't true, and that's not that, and that's not this, and well, what do you know? Why don't I just take all of that, throw that over here, and why don't I just take the Word of God and find out what it says, and go ahead and get my own information? A lot of people, I don't condemn it. It's a calling for some to go off to the seminaries and be filled with the Word and study the Word and get ordained and everything. But I don't even want to take a university's point of view. I don't want to take anyone's point of view. I think Peter has been, upon this rock I shall build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. If Peter could be overridden by a common man who was in the Word, well then, that means all these universities and synagogues and things can be overridden by the Word of God. If the Word of God is not the top, well then, we're in trouble. And that's the thing that I'm saying to the devil right now. The Word of God has to get off the bottom. See, what I see preachers doing, and I will do it. Take the Word of God, and what do you see? They are on top, and the Word is on the bottom. I'm using the Word to say something. I don't want to use the Word to say something. I just want to say what's in the Word. If I can get me an amen on that one. So I want to elevate the Word of God back into its position, whereby the common man, God has a reputation for taking somebody from the back of the line. Come on, man, get away, and then putting them up in the front of the line. Let's talk about David for just a second. David was a nobody. Gideon was a nobody. And if God cannot reserve that right to take somebody from just nowhere, nothing, nobody, and bring them up to the front of the line, we're in trouble. And what I am saying to you this morning, the Word of God is available to each and every man. There's some people that don't want you to read the Word of God because you pose a threat to them. But that's selfishness and that's pride and that's the devil. All good and perfect gifts come down from God. All evil come up from the devil. So whenever anybody comes with negativity, well, sir, you have the spirit of the enemy on you. So I am trying to empower you with the Word of God that's available to you in everybody's hands, available to everybody's hands. I said on the radio, the Word of God, the Bible, the Holy Bible, is the most mass-produced book in the entire world. It's the most available, translated into the most different languages. It's the most available piece of literature in the entire world. And that thing, why did God do that? Why is that? So he can hide it from you, so that you gotta have everything spoon fed to you, so that you could never get into it yourself? No, because he wanted to get it in your hands so that you may not be deceived. Because the enemy is in mass production, like a factory. The enemy is stamping himself off, and he's available. When you're going to sit down and do this, that, and the other, the enemy is going to try to show up whenever he can. So therefore, God's got the Word, so it's right up in your hands, so that you don't have to be deceived anymore. So I say, dump the preconceived notions. I love Grandma, I love Grandpa, I love Uncle Joe, Uncle Tom, Susie, she taught me the Word. You know what though? Why don't you get up in the Word of yourself? Because there comes a time when God wants to take you in His own arms, so that you can sit there in His own arms, feel His own muscle, you know, so you can feel His own comfort. So then you can come to the place where He is calling you to and be all that you can be. Revelation chapter 22, verses 6. I will read. And he said unto me, these things are faithful and true. And the Lord God of the holy prophets sent his angel to show unto his servants, that would be us. Anybody that serves God is his servant. So he's talking to you right now. Lord God of hope promised, send his angel to show unto his servant, personal, the things which must shortly be done. Not to just this one or just that one. No prophecy. Scripture is no interpretation of scriptures, no scriptures of private interpretation. So therefore, that means it's able to be derived and interpreted in front of your face. You don't have to wave a magic wand over the word and look in between the lines. And no. Until he want to show you what the things which must shortly be done. Behold, I come quickly. Blessed, here we go again, is he that keepeth the saying of the prophecy of this book. I'm going to stop real quick. How can you keep the prophecy of this book if you don't know what it says? So therefore, there's a calling, there's a wooing in this last and evil day to read up, study the book of Revelation. But I submit to you, don't get one of their magazines. Don't even look too much inside the commentaries. It comes a time and place where if the word of God can't go ahead and be clear, then nobody can be clear. It comes a time when the word actually says what it says, and you don't got to get an opinion on it. It comes a time when you just got to read the word and say, I know what that just said with my English eyes. Okay? So, for yourself, reading and keeping it for yourself. I want to empower God's people. Behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keepeth the saying of the prophecy of this book. And I, John, saw these things and heard them. And when I had heard and seen, I fell down to worship before the feet of the angel which showed me these things. Then saith he, the angel, unto me, see thou do it not. For I am thy fellow servant, almost as if equal, and of thy brethren the prophets, and of them which keep the sayings of this book, worship God. And he saith unto me, ready? Seal not the sayings of the prophecy of this book. Why? For the time is at hand. Over to 16. I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I, you might think you're something, but I am the root and offspring of David, the bright and the morning star. What do you add? What do you take? That says what it says. And so he said unto us in verse 10, seal not. I said on the radio this morning, the book of Daniel says at the end of it, Daniel receives a great revelation of the end times. And at the end of the book, it says, seal the prophecy until the times of the end. Okay? So he was telling Daniel, seal that for right now. But if you're reading this in Revelation, it says, seal not the things of the prophecy book. It is not to be concealed. It is not to be put away. Well, somebody say to you, well, Revelation is not for you right now. You don't have to worry about that right now. No, the Bible says right here, seal not the things of the prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand. That means open it, look at it, unseal it, get it in the open. Make sure you're staying up on it. Make sure you get waxed and ready, because this thing is current. It's ready. It's right. It's happening in front of us. And these are the end times, so the prophecy of the book of Daniel is to also be unsealed, because these are the times of the end. And a lot of the stuff that's in Revelations and Daniel, it was like it was impossible 100 years ago for some of that stuff to come to pass. But everything is in position. Everything is poised. Everything is right. Everything is, all the technology is in place for all these things to come to pass. But God wants you to be empowered. And we're going to start getting close to the main meat and potato scripture that God gave me to share with you this morning. But if you go to Revelations chapter 2 and 3, it says in Revelations 2 verse 7, Revelations 2 verse 11, Revelations 2 verse 17, Revelations 2, chapter 2 verse 29, Revelations chapter 3 verse 6, Revelations chapter 3 verse 13, Revelations chapter 3 verse 22, seven different verses, seven different times, it says, he that hath an ear, Malaya, do you got ears? Malaya's got ears. He that hath an ear, let him. BC, you got ears?
Where's the ears? Where's the ears? My son just pointed to his ear. My son is 2 years old. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. 7 times.
I said Jesus can say something once, and that thing need to be upheld with all the upholding we can say.
But if he takes the time to repeat himself, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith. That means everybody.
There's no interpretation needed for that verse. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith to the churches. That's in the book of Revelation. So, with all this said and prefaced, I want to go to the scripture that I believe completely parallels the book of Revelation in any end time prophecy that is to be read. Why don't we check up with the man himself and see what he has to say about it? So we can flip ourselves over to Matthew chapter 24 and find out, okay, I heard what Apostle John had to say and I heard what Daniel had to say. Well, I'm going to tell you something. I'm going to tell you somebody that's never confused. I'm going to tell you somebody that knows what he's talking about. And then that man's name is Jesus. So, just in case there's all this misconception, if you didn't have Revelation, if you didn't have Daniel, you do have Jesus' pure words written in Matthew chapter 24. And it's very clear, too clear. What's wrong with stuff that's too clear? It's so clear that I got to go ahead and, it's too easy, I got to complexify that. So I go in, I look on TVN and different ones. I'll represent the gift to calculate wrong. If you add the turn of green, times the metal and the pink, and you look at that through the left side of your eye, the prophecy comes out and it looks like... Oh, Lord, deliver me from that. The Word of God does not need a calculator to calculate. He's speaking to us in plain English. And that was one of the things that the Pharisees had wrong with him. He was so simple and he was so straightforward with the things he was saying that they discounted him. Just like Kmart, discount the prices. They discounted the man. It's too easy. But they missed the fact that that was his love that would make available the words of life in a absorbable form. So let's read what Jesus has to say about the end times. And I would say unto you that I'm just going to submit this to you, that the book of Revelation is written in order. That's one of the biggest problems when you read the book of Revelation, is people try to purport that the book of Revelation is you read this and you go backwards and you go forwards, and it's, but God is not the author of confusion, 1 Corinthians chapter 14 verse 40, but of order. Let all things be done decently and in order. So the book of Revelation says at the end of each verse, and then, chapter 4, and then, this happens, and then, and next, and then. You might think something's confusing, but it says, and then it goes on next. And you don't have to understand everything, but I'll guarantee you, you'll be able to get about 85% of it with no one's help. It tells you just exactly what's going to happen. But you can take this book, Matthew chapter 24, and you can sit there and match up events between Matthew chapter 24 and Daniel and Thessalonians and any other book that talks about end time prophecy, and you can parallel, match it up, check it up, if you will. I can call this the checkup. Check it up versus Matthew chapter 24 and see where things fit and how it goes. What's the order going to be? Matthew chapter 24. Let's read. And Jesus went out and departed from the temple. And his disciples came to him to show him the buildings of the temple. That's kind of funny to me. They're going to show Jesus. They're going to give him a tour. Anyway, Jesus said unto them, see ye not all these things? Glorious temple built of gold. Verily I say unto you, there shall not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. If you go to Israel today, there's a mosque, a Muslim mosque. Muslims who love to kill Christians. They probably kill more Christians than anybody else. There's a Muslim mosque sitting where the temple was. So that lets, to me, that signifies, the Bible says,
I will dwell in a house not made with hands. Ye are the temple of the Holy Ghost in whom I dwell.
God said, you know, I don't care so much about that temple. I'm going to let it get torn down. I'm going to let an evil place come up in its place. Because that's not where I'm concerned with physical things. I'm concerned with the heart that cannot be corrupted like a building.
He said these things, this all is going to be thrown down. All is going to be thrown down. So you go there today, that's already fulfilled. And right at the time, you got this majestic building. He built the stone and it looked powerful and big and impressive. They said every king of the earth will come and they want to go and give them the real shocker. They bring them over to the temple. And you just got to sit there. Walls plated in gold. Can you imagine building with walls plated with gold? Stones and cedars. And just magnificent building. One of the most magnificent, if not the most magnificent building to ever be built. You go back and read Solomon when he was building the temple. I mean, thousands of pounds of pure gold was put into this place. And then people who came from all over the world to rob the temple after the times of Christ. And you can read that in almost any history book. Let's continue on. And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, his disciples came unto him privately, saying, tell us, when shall these things be? And what shall be the sign of thy coming at the end of the world? So the things that are about to be said are going to answer that. And Jesus answered and said unto them. So here's what's going to happen. Here's the sign of the Christ coming. Here's what's going to happen at the end of the world. Take heed. Now you guys saw me getting a little defensive and taking defensive stances. What the heck does Jesus open up with? Take heed that no man deceive you. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. I'm receiving something right now. There's many people that are not necessarily saying, I am Christ, but after they get done healing somebody, they go home and they sit down and talk to their buddy and say, I healed so-and-so at that service. You ain't healed Jack. God was the one. So many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled. For all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. He is. Can I get some witnesses? This sound like English languages? It's no confusingness in it. You know, nothing needs a code. But the end is not yet. He's reminding us that the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. And there shall be famine and pestilences and earthquakes in diverse places. All these are the beginnings of sorrows. I submit to you, if you keep up with the news and if you watch things going on, I remember back in Japan, 50,000 people died in one earthquake. Los Angeles had that big earthquake. Berkshire County just had that earthquake in 2002. Major earthquake, to the point where I'm in architecture, and they revised the entire earthquake code for this whole region. Earthquakes in diverse places. So this stuff is happening already. Famine. So you look at a big locust was over in, locust was cloud in the sky. If you go on the internet and look up locust and locust plague. These things were coming out just like Bible days. You don't hear about it. We kind of shelter from a lot of this stuff. I don't really watch too much TV, but I found that one out. So this stuff is happening. But what does Christ say about this? All these things are the beginning of sorrows. Then, and I will say that this next nine haven't come yet. That's just my proportion to you. Even though in some areas of the world, Pakistan and over there where Bin Laden and them live, some of this stuff is happening. So after all this, the beginnings of sorrows, then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you, and ye shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. If you look at the way things are going right now, it's not too long before you're not going to feel too comfortable wearing the name of Christ or anything, and somebody's going to come after you. Ooh, look at them people going to church. Somebody waiting outside to come and
throw a rock at you or harass you. I think that has yet to, you're talking about things with global proportion here. I think that that has more volume to come, even though some events have happened. Then shall they deliver you up, verse 9 of Matthew chapter 24, to be afflicted and shall kill you, and ye shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. And then shall many be offended and shall betray one another and shall hate one another. As if to say, how did God do this to us? So people become offended and they start to hate each other and turn away from the gospel. And many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. Now he's going to encourage us. But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. I want to encourage you. When you signed up to be a Christian, everybody promised you that you were going to have peaches and roses and the sun was going to be shining on your face every day. But I submit to you that Christ said, don't invest. Come on now. In this flesh. Don't invest in this life. Because the person that's going to invest in this life is going to lose all the glory here. He said that what you got now shall not even be compared to the glory that shall be revealed. So therefore, he wants us to live by faith and go and put our mind, our heart, where your treasure is, there shall your heart be also. He wants us to invest ourselves into eternity. He wants us to be so invested in eternity, so enamored with his things and the attributes of everything that he's saying. So bent and built upon his promises that they are almost like reality to us. So therefore, when somebody come and kill you, that's the worst thing can happen to you. Everybody agrees. If you get killed, if not much can happen to you. If you're dead, it doesn't really much matter what someone does to your corpse. I don't even think you care what someone does to your corpse. Because you ain't in there no more. So the worst thing can happen to you on this earth is get killed. He said, don't even take care for your life. So therefore, he's saying all these things are going to happen. He's not trying to discourage us. He said, but he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. I think that God likes to test our faith. And he likes to let things get, the heat get up just right. So that, oh, you say you're going to follow me, and you say you're going to follow me to the end, and you say that you're my man, my woman. You say you're going to hang in, but when the fire goes ahead and turns up just a couple knots, all of a sudden, we just don't even look like we know what we're saying. We don't even look like we're true people. But no, God says, that's not what I want. I got to try you. I'm going to come back in a little while, let you get built up, and let's try turning the heat up one more time. And God want to get to the point where every time he turned the heat up, you're not movable. You know, like a tree planted by water, the rivers of water, I shall not be moved. That's what the Word of God says, that the righteous are like. So therefore, when he's telling you these things, many people are becoming discouraged when they read about the end time. And how could God let us go through these things? No, he's going to take us away and he don't want to let us go through. No, that's not what Christ told me. He said that he's going to deliver me. And you're going to be hated. But he that shall endure to the end shall be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom, this is the one you hear about a lot, shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations. And then shall the end come. I think it's glorious what some people are doing now. There's a lot of ministers and people that are making strong efforts to see that prophecy come to pass. They're going in, they're trying to translate the Bible. They're going and ministering, putting their lives out. One girl I went to school with, she's over in some Mozambique or somewhere. I admire people that have that gift. And it's not that we need to be jealous of somebody that has that calling to go out into the tundra and go and preach the gospel. God gives each one of us an assignment. You know the thing that God showed me Christians are like? And sometimes we feel lonely as Christians. Why? Because God showed me that Christians are like streetlights. If all the streetlights was on Dewey Ave Corner in Pittsfield, the whole rest of the city is dark. Help me not. No, what is the streetlight? They're spread out. They're spread out so that the light can be evenly spread. So God got one over here, one over there. He got us nice and dispersed out so that we can affect it. My dad says, each one reach one, teach one. God wants to encourage us, and his word is coming to pass. But God wants each one of us to be strong to fulfill that role. He said, no man put a light under a bushel, but he puts it on,
out in the open so that people can see and be helped by that light. In older days when that was written, light was so much more crucial because it was just no light, you know? So every time there was a light, it was a powerful, special thing. So that was even, it was even more meaning back then. Let's read on. So he says, the gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations. That's going to take a big revival, and there's a lot of people that agrees with me that there's going to be a big revival. God is going to stand up in the earth. Christ is going to get one more chance, you know. But he says, don't get too happy, because he says, then shall the end come. And I believe he's going to start telling us about the end. Verse 15. When ye therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by the prophet Daniel, and if I can just trace this little thing over to the middle, if you want to get notes on it, Daniel chapter 9:27, Daniel chapter 12:11, Daniel chapter 9:23 and 9:25 speaks about the abomination that causes desolation. When you shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by the prophet Daniel, I feel I should explain that. Abomination is the most detestable. If something is an abomination to me, it's unbearable. God says certain things are an abomination to him. And if we read that list of abominations in Proverbs chapter 30, somewhere in the middle, it's talking about the things that God hates, and the seventh is an abomination to him. God hates something. People nowadays, they think God's just going to put up whatever we put in his face. They're going to go and get God in a corner and tell him what to do. Certain things God hates. But I submit to you that you're going to have a God that's not too, kind of like a mob boss. He's not too caught up with people. He don't quite much care that people are cutting up. Because he's going to come and execute judgment, and he's going to get his just fill of wrath. But my wife reminded me of the scripture. Account that the long-suffering of the Lord is salvation. He's putting up with us because he wants to save us. He's not willing that any man should be saved, but that all should come to repentance. As yet, when the clock strikes 12, as some say, it's over. That you may not be ashamed at his coming, the word of God says. He don't want us to be ashamed. When he comes cracking through the clouds, we don't want to feel the conviction of the sin that we didn't get quite handled. We don't want to feel the conviction of the parts of our lives that haven't been submitted up under him. So God wants us to get our house in order. Get that thing straightened out so that when he appears, we do not have to be ashamed. The tribes of the earth will mourn, but the righteous are going to praise his name. If you read that, you can read that in the book of Revelation when he comes back. I believe that is Revelation chapter 19. So God does not want us to be ashamed. He does not want us to be condemned. He does not want us to be downtrodden. When the rest of the world, my dad was preaching a good sermon last Sunday. Everybody's going to fall. People falling, pestilence, earthquake. Everybody dropped from the disease of the Kukar. But I'm still standing. You know what I'm saying? God is going to give us the power. When all of Egypt was in darkness, there was light shining in Goshen where all the children of God lived. Everybody seen the Ten Commandments, that movie? So God is going to repeat that thing again in the end time. When you shall see, verse 15, chapter 24, Matthew, we shall therefore see the abomination of desolation spoken of, a desolation, separation, that causes separation, the abomination that causes, I think it says in one place, desolation. That hate, the most thing that God hates that causes desolation. Another place it says the son of perdition. The perdition is the process of going to nothing. The son of the process of going to nothing. The devil is fascinated with death. If you look at these kids, just as much as we're fascinated with life and we want to keep ourselves healthy and we want to do just what's right, some people are fascinated with death. How many ways can I afflict my body? The devil is deranged. And the abomination that causes the desolation, the beast, the son of perdition, he comes and he does everything that goes towards death. When he shall therefore see the abomination of desolation spoken of by the prophet Daniel, stand in the holy place. So not just when he comes on the scene, but when he comes and stands in the holy place. Let's just look at what he says to us. Whoso readeth, let him understand. Then let him which be in Judea flee into the mountains. Let him which is on the housetop not come down to take anything out of his house. Neither let him which is in the field return back to take his clothes. And woe to them that be with child and them that give suck in those days. Look, I gotta stop. So he has given us instructions for these last and evil days. And we have already all agreed that these are the last days. He has given us instruction. He said, now when you see this beast, the son of perdition, the abomination that causes desolation, standing in the holy place, almost as if to purport himself as someone of God or God himself, that's when you have to go ahead and obey. Help me, somebody, please. That's when you have to obey what God... Is Jesus... Can somebody help me out? Is Jesus a gibberish man? Is the man some gibberish... You know that movie, The Last Temptation of Christ? Good God Almighty, I would say unto you, don't watch that movie. I could have took that TV set and kicked it and thrown it and smashed it after I got done. They made the man out to be a babbling idiot. Babbling idiot. I would submit to you, he's not an idiot. He's speaking some clear words. When he's telling you, when you see this, then do this. So I would submit to everybody in here to hold on to these words. So he's saying, when you see the beast stand up in the holy place, do this. He's saying, when you see the beast stand up in the holy place, don't do nothing. Do this. He said, when you see the beast stand up in the holy place, I've got instructions for you. And these are the instructions. He's telling us, the person that's in Judea, in the city, the person in the city area, Judea, Jerusalem, was the place where the concentration of people were. It was the place where everybody go to the markets and buy and sell. They were selling in the temple. Y'all remember that? So them in the cities flee off up into the mountains. Let him which is on the housetop not come down. He said that urgency of the matter is so urgent. When you see that, when you hear, when the newspaper comes out and you see this big ugly goof standing up in some church somewhere, claiming that he's something, he said, Jesus said, this is the instruction for you. I'm repeating myself because for some reason, this thing is all kind of twisted nowadays. When you hear different ones talking about prophecy, they got that, as if he never said any of this here, and as if the instruction is not for us. Well, now, that's not what this says. This says when you see him, as if you're going to see him, as if your own eyes, not somebody else's, when you see him standing in the holy place, let him which is in the city in Judea flee up into the mountains. Let him which is on the housetop not come down into his house. Neither let him which is in the field, like you're out in the field working, don't go back and get your lunch pail out of the cafeteria. The man said, don't even do it. And I submit to you, what's the big deal? Why should I go get my lunch pail? I need to go and say bye to my dad. I submit to you, if you disobey the Lord, you have any punishment that he chooses to put on you. It don't matter if he told you to stand on one foot for the rest of the day. Whatever that Jesus tells us to do, it's worth obeying. Well, these are some direct instructions that the word of the Lord is teaching us right here. Okay, so he's telling us this stuff. It's like you're going to have to go. I mean, when it ever happens, if those who obey get the benefit of obeying, those who don't obey don't get the benefit of obeying. But if I can just take you on a quick journey to the book of Revelation chapter 3, the church of Philadelphia, it says that the church of Philadelphia is the one church that obeys everything that the word says. And they're the one church that does not have to suffer the death and the persecution, but will be protected as God executes judgment on this world. So not all of the church is going to flee into the mountains, not come down out their house, and return back and get into the field. It's coming down to the point, who really believes the word of God? Who really thinks that the word of God is worth obeying? That's what the word of God has instructed us into. So, I think the reason why God has done this is because God wants that. It says in the word, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, all thy soul, all thy mind, and with all thy strength. The question I can hear from God's lips is, Are you really willing to give everything up for me? Are you really willing to lay all aside for me? When it comes down to the nitty and to the gritty, are you willing to obey me? So then therefore, these things are going to come in the end times. And the Bible calls it the hour of temptation. The hour of temptation is going to come over the earth to try all men's hearts. So these are the things that God, He don't want to sneak drive up on us. He wrote about this 2,000 years ago. He wants to get us ready. He wants to get us in the right mindset. He wants to prepare us for the things to come. But He says that if you obey Him, He has a place prepared. Revelation. But pray that your flight be not in winter. Matthew chapter 24, verse 20. Neither on the Sabbath day. It's almost as if when this happens, the Spirit of God will reveal to me the Sabbath day. You may as well call that Sunday, the worship day. It's almost as if when this happens, there's going to be, it's possible that, it's almost as if there's a decree sent out by this abomination that causes desolation that says, anybody who finds these hateful, ugly Christians, it's a bounty out for you. So it means it would be necessary for you to go ahead and go into hiding, leastwise you be killed. And the Bible says, you don't listen to me, that's what's going to happen to you. So He's given us instructions what to do. Pray that your flight be not in winter, neither on the Sabbath day. You wouldn't want to necessarily be all gathered in one place when they come to gaffle you up. You know what I mean? You want to be dispersed. You want to be out of the way. You want to be out of the limelight. For then shall there be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world, to this time, no, nor ever shall be. Except those days should be shortened, there should no flesh be saved. But for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened. Then if any man shall say unto you, lo, here is Christ, or there, believe it not. For there shall arise false Christs and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. Behold, Jesus is talking, I have told you before. Wherefore, if they say unto you, behold, he is in the desert, go not forth. Behold, he is in the secret chambers, believe it not. For as the lightning cometh out of the east and shineth even unto the west, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. How many movies have you seen where they say that Christ came and you just about couldn't tell, everybody couldn't tell if he came or not? That's contrary to the Word of God. The Word of God says, for as the lightning cometh out of the east and shineth even unto the west, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. He's going to come and every eye shall see him, the Word of God says. For wheresoever, 28, the carcass is, there will the eagles be gathered together. Immediately after the tribulation of those days, shall the sun be darkened. That hasn't happened yet. And the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of heaven shall be shaken. And then, the disciples asked him, the whole reason why he's talking is, when's the sign of the end? When's the sign of your coming? All of what I just read is going to happen. And then he says, and then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. And then all of the tribes of the earth shall mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And he shall send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they shall gather together his elect from the four winds, one end of the heaven to the other. I think Thessalonians says the trumpet of God shall sound, and then Christ shall rise first. Then these that are alive and remain shall be caught up to meet him in the air. So shall we ever be with the Lord. And it says here that same scripture in some greater detail or some different perspective. And he shall send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they shall gather together his elect from the four winds of winds, one end of heaven to the other. It's as if God does all the treachery that he can do. But he doesn't put us through something without a reward.
He says, I have not seen nor ear heard.
He hasn't entered into the heart of man the things that God has prepared for those that love him. So we endure great hardship. How many have been through trials? How many have been through, good God Almighty, am I ever going to get through? Good Jesus! I don't know, Lord, if I can, I'll take anymore. Oh, the pain is so great. But that thing came up. You came up.
Well,
everybody gets so discouraged. They get so discouraged when they read about this. The whole thing starts quivering and they start making up myths and how God's not going to make them go. Don't be discouraged. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of love and power and a sound mind. So therefore, God wants us to quit ye like men and be strong. God wants us to, when I was a child, I figured a child, I was a child, but when I became a man, I put away childish things. We need to come on up. We need to be on strong. When the treachery of this world, when 9/11 happened, we don't need to be one of the people that knees is knocking and wonder where the next meal. We need to know that God is in control. And God's got the whole world inside of his hands. I said to my wife, that ain't nothing. That 9 towers, 5,000 people, that ain't nothing compared to the 1.2 plus billion people that said going to die in Revelation chapter 6. It tells the number of the people. It says 1/4 of the earth's population is going to die in a series of events. That's going to happen. Just read right through it. Revelation chapter 6. So God is trying by my preaching and by different ones to get us ready for these things that's going to happen. He doesn't want us to be in darkness. Why do you think? Now you guys know why that it says seal not the prophecy of this book so that you can be ready. God don't want us to be in darkness as the rest of them, as the scripture says. The God of this world has blinded the minds of men, lest at any time they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears the glorious gospel and be converted. God does not want us to be in blindness like the rest of the world. The Bible says men's hearts are going to fail them for fear when all these things start to unravel and unfold. Men's hearts failing them for fear. Read, watching the TV. That's it. Just die. No, God doesn't want us to die. And God doesn't want us to be befuddled. It said, be not afraid of sudden terror or death when it comes. God is calling us up to a powerful and a strong place. And not everybody is going to heed that call. And God said, blessed are the poor in spirit, for there is the kingdom of heaven. But God does not want us to be poor in spirit. God wants us to be rich in spirit. God wants us to be strong. God wants us to be powerful. God wants us to be equipped for battle. God wants us to be able to save souls. You know that is one of the greatest soul harvests that we've had in years was when the 9/11 happened? So many people come back to church. So many people got it right. Man, one of these rappers I listened to said, atheist patriots say God bless America. People that didn't never know who God was, all of a sudden banners are swinging. Because they know where the help comes from. They know where the meal on the table comes from. So I'm just trying to encourage, prod, poke, get us up to the next level. Want us to get into Revelation. Want us to get into end time prophecy. Want us to be ready. Want us to be able to raise up. I want my son to be a leader in these end times. I want my son, when everybody else is quivering, to be walking around like, what? What's the deal? You know? And where do you see that? Back in where Elijah, in the book of Kings, everybody was so afraid of Queen Jezebel and all, and she's killing all the prophets and all the people was all ducking and dodging. And God said to Elijah, I got people that haven't bowed down yet, but they obviously wasn't standing up like Elijah was, because Elijah didn't know that they was around. So God wants more people like Elijah who can go ahead and stand up in the face of the enemy. Stand up in the pit of the lion. Stand up in the fiery furnace. What's up? God's got my back so much that I know that he can intercede, intermingle, interweave, and interwoven himself into any situation, into being, and go ahead and save me. Not even a gun can take me out. Nothing can take me out. I can get in the middle of any circumstance and save you. So that's what I'm trying to get us to today. Let's go ahead and just end this thing here. Now learn a parable, verse 32. Now learn a parable of the fig tree. When his branch is yet tender and putteth forth leaves, ye know that summer is nigh. It's like springtime, you know. You see the little buds, summer's coming. Little things give you hints.
So likewise, when ye see all these things, know that it is near, even at the doors. So he's telling you it's not going to overtake you by a surprise. It's going to build up just so. And you can go ahead and start getting your heart ready. You can go ahead and start getting into prayer. Oh, you can start getting into some prayer. You start seeing, oh, the devil, oh, yeah. Oh, come on, what? You see these things, it's not time to stop down. It's not time to hide. The devil is trying to come and take advantage of this bad circumstance. I'm going to take advantage of this for Christ. Notice this near, even at the door. Verse 34. Verily I say unto you, this generation, and he that has ears of him, verily I say unto you, this generation, I will submit to you, this generation means this era of time. There's not going to be no era of time changing. This generation shall not pass away until all be fulfilled. And then he said, you want me to prove it? Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words, can I get somebody to scream that out? Somebody. Can I get somebody to scream out that, the end of verse 35? Somebody.
My word shall not pass away.
Oh, Lord God. Everything's going to fall down. Everything's going to crumple. The earth's going to burn up with fervent heat. But you know what's going to survive? My word is never going to pass away. You're going to go to heaven and you're going to read the word of God yet still. Oh, Lord God. But my word shall not pass away. So I don't care what people are saying. I don't care all the movies that are out there. I don't care what people feel. My word is not going to pass away. I could find myself obedient unto the word of God when everybody else is, oh, well, let me contemplate. Oh, well, I hope I was coming on in 20 minutes. I don't care what people are doing. You got to get to that place where I don't care what you're doing. I'm going to go and make a fool of myself for Christ. But of that day, in that hour, knoweth no man, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only, he says in verse 36. But as the days of Noah were, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. Let me tell you what it's going to be like when I get ready to start coming back to this earth. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage. Can I submit to you what that means? They're carrying on with life as normal. They didn't really think much of what was going on. And who would know that all of us are going to die? Who would know that the earth was going to have great cracks in the ground and babies and mamas and animals and shreds of people screaming and drowning? Oh, Mary, eating and drinking and getting in marriage until the day. Until the day. Somebody had a... Can I submit to somebody? Somebody had a wedding engagement on that day. Somebody was sitting in pews that day. Somebody had plans to meet for a fishing trip that day. Somebody... Until the day that Noah entered into the ark. They was just carrying on as normal. And then just got... And knew not until the flood came and took them away. You ever heard somebody say they're going to be in a fight and they say the only thing you're going to know is you're going to be waking up from when I hit you. Oh, Lord God. And no not until the flood came and just swept them up. Swept them up, carried them away. So shall the coming of the Son of Man. You may not believe it. And Noah said that Noah was a preacher of righteousness. And I kind of suppose that he was laughed and scoffed and scorned, just like a lot of us preachers are today. And people look at me like I'm crazy because I suck. I have enough nerve to believe what Jesus said. Oh, Lord. But no lie for the day that they were carried away. I don't care. Did that help you while you drowned in the flood that you didn't believe? I feel sorry. We need to quit caring about what people say. We need to quit caring about people's opinions. People are opinioning you out of the church. Yeah, they're opinioning you out of your Bible. They're opinioning you out of your prayer session. It sounds a little stupid when you pray like that. What was that prayer language? They're opinioning you out of the power of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Don't give up and I care what people say. God will make sure that some naysayer is standing right next to you.
Right.
He sure enough will. Oh man, I can never find no private time to pray. That's just exactly it. He wants to make it so that you can't go out and get into the Spirit.
And knew not until the flood came and took them away.
So shall the coming of the Son of Man be. And this is what it's going to look like.
Then shall two be in the field. One shall be taken, and the other left. Two women shall be grinding at the mill. One shall be taken, and the other left.
The dead in Christ shall rise first, and then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up. One in the field, other left. That's the caught up.
I don't know how you can mix that up. People mix it up. I don't know how you can mix that up. One shall be taken, and the other left. One grinding at the mill. One shall be taken, and the other left. Watch therefore, for ye know not what hour your Lord doth come. But know this, that if the good man of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched and would not have suffered his house to be.
Y'all come from the city. Maybe y'all had some situations. Big Brother's coming by around too. Oh, come on by. I'm right there with the frying pan. Oh, come on in. Come on out. Yeah. You know, you'll be right there by the window. You can just come on in. You know, some people got pieces too. You know, you're not going to just sit there like, oh no, I'm Big Brother. You're not going to take us over. No. What the? Come on in. The Bible says, the fool says there's a lion in the street and screams and cries. No, the wise man's going to get ready, get armed, give me a spear. I'm not going to let no lion teeth push me around. You know,
if the good man has in the house had known in what hour the thief would come, he wouldn't have suffered his house. The good man, I mean the bad man ain't going to do it. The bad man going to suffer his house. He's going to go and take anything you want. No, the good man is not going to let his house get overtaken and to be broken up. Therefore,
44.
Be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. So therefore, don't put your calculator saying, I need to be ready August 31st, and as long as I'm ready by August 31st, I should be all set.
No, the man said, you know what, why don't you just be ready right about now? For these things, and in that way, when it happens, you're going to be all set. For as in such an hour as you think now, the Son of Man cometh.
Who then is a faithful and wise servant, whom the Lord hath made ruler? This is message to pastors, whom the Lord hath made rulers over his household, to give them meat, word, and due season. Blessed is that servant whom the Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. Verily I say unto you, that he shall make him ruler over all his goods. But in him, that evil servant shall stay in his heart.
Can I just admit to you that there's evil servants of the Lord out here today? For some reason, people think it's not possible. Well, I've been exposed to some nasty stuff, and it's not good. But the Word of God says, I got one covered. But in him, that evil servant shall stay in his heart, my Lord delayeth his coming, and shall begin to smite his fellow servants. Pastor's a fellow servant. And to eat and drink with the drunken. The Lord of that servant shall come in a day when he looketh not for him, and in an hour when he is not aware of, and shall cut him asunder, and appoint him his portion with the hypocrites. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. We don't serve a God that just puts up with any old thing. We don't serve a God that just says, oh, whatever you feel like. The man said, work out your all salvation with fear and trembling. Turn your laughter to mourning and your joy to mirth. Come before his presence with thanksgiving and enter his courts with praise. Get that grumbly look off your face when you come up in my house. We gotta get it together. That's everybody. That's me. That's you. When he said work out your salvation with fear and trembling, he wasn't just talking to someone in the pew. He begins to beat his fellow servants. People are getting beat in churches. People are getting pushed around. People are getting abused. People are getting misused. But the Lord said he's going to come in a day and hour where that servant thinks not. So therefore, I'm saying unto you, God has given us everything we need to be powerful,
amen,
to be ready.
to be in the Word, to be able to face whatever. If you could face what was read there, you can face anything that happens to you.
Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also.
I just would pray, Lord God, we have partaken, Lord God. You have empowered me to, I hope, represent you as pure as I could possibly in my flesh do. Lord God, we have heard your word. Lord God, you said, let us keep the word, lest at any time it should slip. The word wants to slip out of our souls. The enemy wants to take it out of our souls. But Lord God, we need to be empowered. We need to be fired up. We need to know that you're delaying your coming so that more can be saved. You're giving us a chance to represent you. You're giving us a chance, Lord God, to sit down at the table of fellowship with you. Lord God, we need your power. We need your strength. We need your mercy. We need your grace. Lord God, it's not by works, but it's by grace, Lord God, that we are saved. Lord God, where is boasting then? All things are from God. The Holy Spirit gives us the will and the unction to do good. Lord God, we need you. We need you. If we ever needed the Lord before, we sure do need you now, the song sings, Lord God. Please give us the strength. Please give us the mercy. Please, Lord God, let us to be, Lord God, Jesus, the vessel that some vessels are made for honor and some for dishonor. Let us to be vessels made for honor. Clothed in white. Lord God, Revelation says the white is the righteousness of the saints. Lord God, let us to live, Lord God, with fire that says, Lord God, I'm not going to let myself get away with that. God might just smite me. My wife just reminded me, Lord God, that you said, Lord God, that Lord God, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Help us, Lord God, to fear you, Lord God, so that we might be wise. Lord God, so that we might even enter into your gates, so that we might even know how to answer you. Oh, Lord God. Lord God, please, Lord God, let us to live in faith. Let us to live in fire. Let us, Lord God, to live, Lord God, in the reality of your word, Lord God. When the enemy, Lord God, is trying to cloud our minds and trying to sway us away and trying to get us involved in frivolous activities, Lord God, and waste of time. Lord God, let us be the ones, Lord God, why the heck? They think it's strange that you run not with them to their evil deeds. The word says, Lord God, help us, Lord God. Lord God, to not be moved. Lord God, when people are thinking strange of us, Lord God, help us not to be moved. Help us to be strong. Help us to not be ashamed. Help us, Lord God, to Lord God, have enough strength and enough courage to stand up when everybody else is giving in, Lord God, and falling down. And Lord God, on a journey, Lord God, some Lord God, are not finding the strength to go ahead and make it, Lord God. But let us, Lord, I got more strength. I got more power. I think I can make it to the end of the road. And Lord God, say just like Peter, I have fought the good fight of faith, Lord God, and I am ready to come home. Jesus, we need you. We need you. We need you. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You're going to come and separate the wheat from the chaff, Lord God. Help us not to be the chaff. You're going to separate the wheat from the tares, Lord God. Help us not to be the tares. You're going to separate the sheep from the goats, Lord God. Help us not to be amongst the goats. Lord God, help us to be a clear decision, Lord God, when you go about deciding and judging the men of this earth. Help us, Lord God, that you don't have to, I can't quite see my reflection in their heart. No, Lord God, no, let that not to be said of the people standing in this synagogue right now, in this church right now, Lord God. Let that not to be said, Lord God, of the people that's listening to this tape by CD and by MP3 and audio, Lord God. Let that not to be said of us, Lord God. But let it to be said, Lord God, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter thou into the joy of thy master. Lord God, we thank you. We praise you, Lord God, that we can be used. We can be groomed. We can answer the call. We can, Lord God, thank you for helping me, Lord God, be faithful over a few things so that we can be ruler over many, Lord God. I pray for your people, Lord God. I pray for your people around the world, Lord God. So, Lord God, that we can, Lord God, be a church, Lord God, that you can be a proud of. I think that you might be ashamed of your church, Lord God. You blaspheming the holy name of God. You making me look bad, God saying. Lord God, help us, Lord God, not to make you look bad. Help us, Lord God, to set a new mark. They didn't like you, Jesus, because you set such a good standard. You set such a good mark that they didn't account that they were able to catch up to. But you said not by works, but by grace.
Lord God, people are in pride. People are in hypocrisy. People are shied away and caught up in frivolous activities and things. We need your help, Lord God. We're calling on your name, Lord God. We want to be saved, Lord God. We need you. We need you, Lord God. Lord God, as we leave this place, help us not to leave your presence. Lord God, your servant, the Apostle Paul, our brother, Lord God, said, pray without ceasing. Help us, Lord God, to get that spirit. Lord God, when somebody cuts us off in the road, Lord God, somebody cuts us off. I was about to curse him. Oh, I was about to get him. Lord God, can you bless him? He might be having a bad day. He might have just got fired. His son might have just died in a car accident. Help us not to be so quick to judge and do evil. Maybe perhaps we might want to look like you and do like you and turn the other cheek. Lord God, we need you. Oh, what did I say? We need you. I need you, Lord. We need you, Lord. Oh, if it were not for the Lord, the word says, we would be altogether undone. And Lord God, somebody come by and throw us in the garbage. Because that's what we'd be fit for. But no. You found grace in the eyes of Noah. You found grace in us, Lord God, to choose us. You have not chosen me. But I have chosen you, says the Lord. I chose you because I love you. I chose you because I see something in you. I need you to do the work that I have chosen for you to do. I've chosen you to do work. And I need you to do the work that I have chosen for you to do. You're the only one that can do the work that has your signature on it. Nobody else can do what you can do. Lord God, please, we need you so that we can answer the call, so that we can answer the word, so that we can answer all the requirements that you have for us, so that we can keep. You said, blessed are those that keep your word, Lord God. We need you so that we can keep. Give us humble humility, Lord God, so that we can come quivering before your presence and know that we are accepted. And we come quivering, expecting wrath, but you said, that's the right heart. Come into my arms as I comfort and massage your heart. Lord God, please, we need you. Some of us got a hard week ahead. Some of us got hard days ahead. Some of us don't know how we're going to deal with that. Oh, I don't know if I can deal with that person on the job anymore. I don't know if the neighbor, I might just have to come upside. No, Lord God. No, we need you so that we don't cut up and find ourselves needing the slack. Find ourselves being thrown away. We're not going to quite look like you, Lord God Jesus, if we carry out what the enemy was planting in our head. Oh, Lord God. Oh, we need you. We, all of us, every man, all 6 billion of us need you. Every sinner needs you, Lord God. Thank you for dying for us. Thank you for coming to us. Thank you for pursuing us, Lord God. And we'll forever give your name the praise, the glory, the honor. And we will live before you with integrity and dignity and diligence and faith and loyalty. We will not drop the bar at 2:30 at night when somebody keeps waking me up and I can't just about take it. No. Oh, it's hard. Oh, I can't hold on to righteous. Oh, I don't know. No. God is going to strengthen us in the hour of our need, because the enemy wants to destroy us and catch us in sin so that we can be just as equal to the sinners. We need you, Lord. Bless us, help us, and keep us from everything that we have to face. Lord God, I pray this, and it is, Lord God, is a turning point in my life. Lord God, where I can have a little more fire. And Lord God, I can start to intimidate the devil instead of the devil intimidating me. Lord Jesus, I need you, Lord God, because you've given me a lot of dreams, a lot of goals, and a lot of visions, Lord God, that in my own strength could never come to pass. But by your strength, nothing is impossible. Lord God, others here, Lord God, listening, Lord God, are lined up with me, Lord God. They have visions, they have goals, they have dreams, aspirations, Lord God. But it's not by might, we heard this morning in Scripture, or by power, as written in Zechariah. But it's by thy spirit, saith the Lord. Help us, change us, keep us. In Jesus' holy, honorable name. Amen.